If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We now have Paul, and he's getting ready to die. He's in Rome. He's already made his three missionary journeys. He's already proclaimed the gospel. He's now an old man. And he is in chains in a little prison in Rome, waiting for his execution. Nero is going to kill him. But then Paul, in writing 2 Timothy, which is his last letter before he dies, he wants to encourage Timothy because Timothy has been left in Ephesus to become the pastor of the church of Ephesus. And there seems to be a situation where Timothy had been a young man. He was at the age, maybe when he got saved, in his early teens. And then he walked along with Paul and Paul taught him, discipled him. And now Timothy is probably around 30 to 35 years old. And everyone that Paul knew have left him alone, have deserted him. And he's writing to Timothy and says, Timothy, don't give up. Timothy was having a very hard time in his life. And the reason he was having a hard time is because there were false teachers that were coming into the church. And they were trying to discourage the people. They were trying to deceive the people. And at the same time, Paul is letting Timothy know, Timothy, I am going to go to be with the Lord, and I'm turning over to you the work that God gave to me. I'm going to give it to you. You're the next generation to take us to the next step. Look what he says to him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. He says, therefore I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. It seems from the scripture here that Timothy's fire had gone out. Timothy got cold. He says, don't you remember when we laid hands on you and the Holy Spirit came upon you and baptized you in power and you got so turned on to Jesus Christ? Timothy, what happened? What happened to you? He became discouraged, like any one of us here. He says in verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see? Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, please, get with it. Get on your knees. Ask God to touch your life, because I'm going to give you the work. I'm going to die. Just in a few days, I'm going to be dead. I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. And God has called you to take over this ministry that God has given to me. As I was thinking about that this week, I thought of my own personal life. I've been in the ministry now close to 35 years. And it was just like yesterday when I got saved at the age of 24 years old. 24 years old. I had done everything in my life. And I thought, you know, when I was 24 years old, I used to think, man, I wonder what I'm going to be doing when I'm 50 some years old. Well, here I am. Not understanding at that time, but now understanding that time moves faster than you think. And as I think of time and of all that God has done in my life and done in the life of Calvary Chapel, and for God allowing me and giving me the privilege to work with Pastor Chuck for 35 years, to me it's a blessing. And I'm thinking, Lord, who are going to be those of the next generation that we're going to train? Young people that are here tonight, talking to you. As Paul talked to Timothy, stir up the gift that God has given to you so you can be powerful in what God is calling you to do. God desires that you consecrate your life to Him. God desires that you study His Word. God desires that you yield to Him in humility, and He will empower you and He will use your life. I was in the prime of my life at 24 years old. I was already married 4 years. I had 2 children. But that didn't keep me from the calling of God. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, immediately I wanted to go out and tell people what God had done in my life as I became baptized by the Holy Spirit. So what's the first thing that I did? I went back to my old high school to preach the gospel. I didn't even know how to preach. But I knew that something was burning within my heart. It was the Word of God. And as I would drive to Calvary Chapel every single week, and as I would get Chuck's tapes and lock myself up in my office before I would do my school at night and listen to him all day long because I was so hungry and I never heard the Word of God the way it was explained to me by Pastor Chuck, I just began to sit at the feet of Jesus and just learn. And as God began to teach me, and as God began to put this burden in my heart for young people, I started not just going to my high school, but I started going to 10 high schools. I went to every major high school in the San Gabriel Valley at lunchtime and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we saw hundreds of young people, which some of you that are here tonight, you already have children. The years have gone so fast. God surely has done a work in our midst. And like Paul, I feel like my days are numbered. And I wonder if God not only tarries for a little while, that we would begin to pray and ask God to raise up that generation of young men, young women, that God is going to use in this postmodern time that the church is facing today in the coming of the Antichrist generation. For surely God is moving in our midst. God surely wants to do a work in our lives. So now Paul, in talking to Timothy in verses 8 to the end of the chapter, verse 12, Paul wants to share that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ that has been given to him. Timothy, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look what he says. Verse 8. Therefore, because of this, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. How we need to be bold in sharing our faith with other people, our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones. Why? Because they have a soul, just like you have a soul. And it's really important that we understand that one day we're going to die. And like I said on Sunday morning, if we die without Jesus Christ, people will end up in eternity in hell. And there's no one, not even ourselves, and not even God himself, that could ever, ever give them another opportunity. They are gone forever into eternity without God. To be tormented day and night. They make the choice. This is why it's really important for us not just to forget about the gospel, but even as Paul the Apostle in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16, listen to what he says. In Romans chapter 1, that great, great book of Romans, in chapter 1 verse 16 he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So important to be able to share the gospel with those that don't know Christ. A lot of times we don't really understand it. Maybe we're fearful, we're afraid, just like Timothy. And yet I've seen people that I was sometimes shy to kind of share with them, but when I began to pray and began to share with them, they opened their hearts and began to share with me. People that had a lot of money, people that had no money, people that I thought their marriages were so cool and everything was cool because they were such cool people, and yet inside they were empty, empty, empty people in need of God. You really don't know what people are going through until you are sensitive to those people. And then they'll open their heart to you. And what do? We share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that has been shared with us. Remember, somebody shared with you. Don't be stingy. Share the gospel. You wouldn't be sitting here tonight. I wouldn't be here tonight if I would have never turned on that television in 1972 on April 15 and Pastor Chuck was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wouldn't even be here. I would be in hell today. I would have been in hell today. But the Lord knew. God reached out to me through a television program. God can use anything and anyone to reach out to those that are in need. And that's why Paul tells here, Timothy, Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. We should never be ashamed of one another if we're brothers in the Lord. Why? Because we all have our own testimony that we can share with people. So important that people today, which a lot of people are not sharing with other people, and people are perishing into eternity. That's why we do crusades. Why? Because we get to invite someone to a concert and then to hear the message and give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to do what? To get saved. We can't force them. And yet Paul again, Timothy, don't forget the testimony, and don't forget me. The testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, but share with me also in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Listen, it's not easy to be a Christian. When Paul was writing, Paul had been beaten 3 times. Shipwreck. In Lystra, they took him out of the city and they stoned him and he was left to die. He was dead. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul the apostle went to heaven while he was dead, and the Lord spoke to him, and he came back. And when he came back, he got up and said, hey, let's go back and preach to them again. Paul was that type of a person. But he couldn't tell you the words that he heard. He says, they were so glorious. There are no human words what I heard in heaven. It was amazing, he said. And God gave me a thorn in the side to keep me humble. Listen, this world is not to be compared, and even the sufferings that we're going through tonight compared to eternity. Not to be compared. As a matter of fact, Paul the Apostle in Philippians, the book of Philippians, the book of suffering. We already studied this great book. In chapter 1, verse 12, notice what he says through verse 18. He says, but I want you to know, brothers, that the things which happened to me have happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. Every sickness, every beating, every tribulation, every trial that I have gone through, it is to do what? To further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at Paul's attitude here. Maybe he can show some of us to have a better attitude when we get sick. And when we're facing something tremendous in our lives, to have a better attitude, to know that what's happening to me is to the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's going to use me in my sickness if I have the right attitude. That's what it's about. It's not always just everything's glorious. That's not the way the Christian life is. It's a battlefield. It's a warfare. It's a place where we do trip and fall. It is a place where not everybody loves you, but people hate you and despise you. You see? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Timothy, please do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then he says in verse 9, he says, remember who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us, Christ Jesus, before time began. Notice what he says here. Look what God has done for you and me. He saved us. He called us to a holy calling. Notice what he says. We're not ordinary people. God has called you and God has called me in a holy calling to serve him with all of our might, to serve him with all of our hearts. What did God save you from? From the wrath to come. He saved you from sin. He saved you from hell. He gave you eternal life. And it's not through works, lest any man should boast. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, it is through faith in Jesus Christ that we come to know him and his love and his grace and his mercy. Because look what he says. And he saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. You see, it's not according to works. But what? But according to his own purpose and grace. There it is. And yet how many people are trying to get into the kingdom of God by their own works? And yet Jesus said, your works as are filthy rags. Your self-righteousness is no good. You can't get in by your own works. It has to be the grace of God. Unmerited favor. We deserve hell and God's giving you heaven. Imagine that. Jesus Christ, what he's done. This is a gift. You don't work for it. Salvation is a gift of God, freely given to anyone that wants salvation. And look what he says. But according to his own purpose and the grace which was given to us in, what is that word in? Remember in Ephesians? In speaks of my position in Christ Jesus. I'm not outside of Christ, I'm in Christ. That makes me a child of God. That puts me in fellowship with the Lord. When? Since time, notice, in Christ Jesus before time began. Can you believe that? God knew you before your mommy and daddy got together. He knew you. He knew me. Way before that. Before he even created the heavens and the earth, he knew you. You already were in his mind. Imagine that. God, how much he loves you. How much he cares for each one of us individually. Here, Paul the Apostle, the message that he was giving was concerning the grace of God that has been instilled to each one of us, freely given to us. Even before God did anything on this world, God already knew you by name, and he knew me by name, even before our parents named us. Imagine how God's grace is. Even before we were born, he knew us. And what else? Verse 10. But has now been revealed or unveiled by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice that. Notice here the power of the gospel Jesus Christ has given to each one of us. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, but has what? But has now revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is he talking about? The death was conquered by what? By the cross of Jesus Christ. Sin was defeated. And then, not only the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but how about his resurrection? He could have died on the cross and never resurrected. It would be in vain. But he did rise again on the third day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Over 500 people saw him. 500 people and over more people saw him resurrect from the dead. And I've been to Israel now close to so many times, and I've been in that tomb, and he's not there. Another witness. And those of you that went, you were in that same tomb. He's not there. He resurrected. The power of the resurrection that has given us life from death. You see, we died to Christ. What? We're dying to the old man, but we're risen with Jesus Christ in the newness of life. Paul says it in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Risen with Christ in newness of life. This is so incredible what God has done, what he's doing in my life and in your life. Check this out. But has now been what? Revealed by appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life. What kind of life? Spiritual life. We are spiritual people. We're no longer to be carnal, but to be spiritual. You see? When we became born again of the Holy Spirit, according to John chapter 3, when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, the great rabbi, he says, you must be born again of the Spirit, not of the flesh. We've been born again of the Holy Spirit. No one can take that away from us. It's not through baptism. It's not by joining the church. It's not how many times I come to Calvary Chapel. It's by faith in Jesus Christ, being born again of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit was with me, convict me of sin, and the Holy Spirit has come into my life, and the Holy Spirit, if he has come upon me and baptizing me with the Holy Spirit's power. The three manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the three prepositions, within and upon, in each one of our lives. And what did he do? Who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Think about this. People that don't have Christ, they have no hope for tomorrow. They're afraid to die. I would too. I've been to so many funerals, done so many funerals. I've been to hospitals. And the saddest thing for me when I walk into a hospital and that person's going to die within a matter of minutes. And I talk to those people and they're not sure if they want Christ. Or they start damning me and saying, start cussing at me. And I say, hey, wait a minute. You're going out into eternity and you're damning me when you're going to be dead just in a few minutes if you don't receive Christ. You can't mess with people like that. You got to be direct. There's no time to spare. You got to tell them the truth. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And the only way to get to heaven is for you to repent of your sins and to receive Jesus Christ by faith, and he'll forgive you, he'll cleanse you and wash you. And right now, at this very moment, right before you slip into eternity, you can be in heaven just like the thief on the cross if you humble yourself and ask Christ into your hearts. The light of the gospel when it's turned on, when people repent. That's what each one of us have experienced tonight in our lives by coming to Christ. Then look what he says, verse 11. To which I was appointed. Notice, my profession is by appointment. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about here, notice, in which was I appointed. Number one, a preacher. A preacher. Secondly, an apostle. Thirdly, a teacher. Now, what is a preacher? Many people have many concepts of a preacher. Preaching means what? That God gives you the gift of preaching to non-believers. Preaching is for the non-believers, not for believers. And an apostle here, he's talking about an ambassador, one that represents Christ like a missionary, one that is sent out to represent Christ wherever you work, whatever school you go to. Whatever supermarket you go to, you are God's representative. Remember that. Remember when Moses was called to be God's representative to the people of God back in the book of Numbers in chapter 20? And they had actually walked through the wilderness. They came out of Egypt. They were fed up with the desert. 11-day journey took them 40 years to travel because of unbelief. And when they came to their last place, right before going into the promised land, they were on the other side of Moab. Moses came to the Lord because the people were murmuring and complaining that they were thirsty. And so he came to the Lord and said, God, the people are thirsty. What shall I do? And the Lord said, what's that in your hand, Moses? He says, it's a staff. He said, I want you to go out and I want you to speak to the rock, and the rock will bring forth water and the people will have something to drink. That's all I want you to do. And when Moses came out of God's office behind the rock, he saw the people, he got upset. He says, you rebels. You want water? I'll give you water. Get over here. And got his staff and hit the rock once. He hit the rock twice and the water came forth. And God said, excuse me, Moses, can you come back into my office? I need to talk to you. Now, Moses, let me ask you as a leader, did I say speak to the rock or beat the rock to death? Why? Because the rock is who? Jesus. He was only smitten once, not twice. So what did Moses do? He misrepresented God in the sight of the people as an angry man of God, thinking that God was angry with the people when God was never angry with the people. And God said, Moses, because you misrepresented me, you can't go into the promised land. You're going to die over here. You'll see it, but you won't go in. Representatives. Every one of us here of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what people see is what they think we are. And then, teacher, like we're doing tonight, teaching the word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. Paul says, God called me to be a preacher, a representative apostle, and a teacher of the word of God to the Gentiles. Paul wanted to go to the Jews, but he couldn't go. God sent him to the Gentiles. Send them to the Gentiles. This is so good what God says here. And the reason I say that, why? Because teaching, Paul the Apostle in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, gives us the purpose of the church. And what is the purpose of the church? That God has set up some to be what? Apostles, some teachers, some pastor teachers, and evangelists. What's so beautiful about Calvary Chapel, there's three of us, Mike McIntosh, Greg Laurie, and myself. We have a threefold ministry. We have not only the actual ministry of preachers, but also teachers, which is so cool. Among Calvary Chapel, most Calvary Chapels are just teachers. But God's given us the gift of evangelism. That's why we do crusades. And we also are pastors of a church. It's really neat how God does that. Unique way. And here Paul the Apostle had that gift of preaching and teaching and becoming a representative of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And watch this, verse 12. For this reason, Timothy, I, Paul, also suffer these things, all my beatings, all my imprisonments, all my rejections from people, everything that I ever went through. Nevertheless, he says, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Why? Because it was for God. It wasn't for myself. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed whatever happens to me as a Christian. We don't ever have to be ashamed. Watch what he says. For this reason, I, Paul, suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he, Jesus, is able to keep or guard what I have committed to him until that day. Wow, powerful statement here, Paul. Paul says, I am aware that I'm not employed for myself. The Lord employed me, and the Lord guarantees me these things. Listen, I'm in the greatest job of all jobs. It's the call of God, he said. I got a guarantee in that day when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the Bema seat of Christ that I'm going to hear the words, that good and faithful servant Paul, come on in. Here it is, what I prepared for you. And not only for Paul, but for every one of us here. It's not how you start the race, it's how you finish the race. Remember that. Anybody can start in a race, but not everybody finishes well. Not everybody finishes well. it's important to start the race and finish well. Because during the race, there are going to be trials, there are going to be temptations, there's going to be suffering, there's going to be things that will happen in your life, and you have to constantly keep your eyes on the gold, on the prize, eternity, the crown of life. Nothing in this world is worth eternity. Nothing. No woman, no man, no money, no power, nothing compared to eternity. And Paul knew that. I am persuaded that he, Jesus, is able to keep that which I've committed unto him, or to guard it until that day of the mega seat of Christ. Verse 13, notice, be loyal to the faith now. Hold fast, hold tight, literally, the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith, love, which are in Christ Jesus. What does he mean? He says, look, Timothy, what I have taught you concerning the teaching of the Word of God, hold on to it tight. Don't let go, especially because of all the false teachers that are teaching heresy. Be careful. The emerging church today, the emerging church coming soon, it's on the rise. What do they believe? They believe, number one, that you don't really have to trust the Scriptures. You don't have to trust the Scriptures. It's really important that we understand this. That we're living in the last days, the Antichrist spirit is around, and there's going to be all kinds of winds and doctrines coming our way. But at the same time, we hold tight to the teaching of the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation. We do need the Bible, and the Bible is inspired by God. God gave it to us. We do not trust in what? In traditions. We trust in the Word of God. Very important. What God's Word teaches. So Paul here is instructing Timothy in the same way, because the false teachers were trying to deceive the people of God. And many of them already had been deceived. You'll see in a moment. Hold tight to the pattern of sound words, or to sound doctrine, which you have heard from me in faith, in love, notice, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep, notice, guard it, or guard the truth, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. What God gave to you through the teaching of the Word of God, let the Holy Spirit guard it in your heart. Don't let go of that. Don't let go of what you've been taught. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Guard it with all your heart. Verse 15. This you know, that all those in Asia Minor have turned away from me. Can you imagine that? Hey, people have deserted me. Who? Among whom are Phygelus and Herminius. They left me. They're gone. There are people that stay, and there are people that desert the church. I pray that you're the ones that stay and don't desert the church. Especially when things get tough and things get rough. Here Paul is brokenhearted. Notice that here, these false teachers have turned from the truth of God to false teaching. And these guys here, they knew the truth of God, and yet they became deserters. Against Paul, they left him all alone there in Rome, getting ready to be tried and to be killed. And nobody was what Paul said, and yet he was hoping that Timothy would get there on time. But Timothy never got there on time. Paul was killed before Timothy came, but he left him the letter. Timothy, stay true to the word. Verse 16. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. Remember, we saw him in the other gospel, in the book of Philemon. We'll see him again. Onesiphorus. Why? Because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. He came from Ephesus. He came out to seek me out, and he comforted me. He was a good, good disciple of Christ. He was a good servant of the Lord. He was a true, known as co-worker in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Onesiphorus. Verse 17. But when he, Onesiphorus, arrived in Rome, he sought me out notice, very zealously and found me. And the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. Man, Paul surely is an encourager. Lord, bless Onesiphorus for coming out here. On the day of judgment, give them a lot of rewards for what he did with me. He says, and you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Isn't that beautiful? Just like you minister to me, I minister to you, we can minister to one another. Why? Because we're the body of Jesus Christ. We're in here for the long run, for eternity, not part-time. Very important. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord God, to thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercies, Lord. Lord, as we look at these last chapters in Paul's life, Lord God, we pray that you would teach us, God, and speak to us mightily, Lord. Father, especially in chapter 3 and 4. Father, next week as we pick it up in chapter 2, Lord, we pray, Lord, that these epistles will really change our behavior, change our lives, our thinking, Lord God, and that we would be able to come to that place in our lives, Father, where we totally humble ourselves and submit ourselves to you, Lord, fully and completely, Lord God, so that you can use our lives. And Lord, if there would be anyone here or even watching through the internet, Father, that doesn't know you or maybe backslidden, or maybe they're struggling in their walk tonight, Father, that you would touch them and bless them and heal them, Lord. Encourage them, Lord. And if there's anybody here right now that doesn't know the Lord, somebody brought you, somebody invited you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. If you want salvation tonight, you want to be free from hell, you want to repent, you want to confess, you want to receive by faith Jesus Christ, you want to get your name in the book of life, and you want the assurance of eternal life tonight, I'm going to ask you, whoever you are, wherever you are, to stand to your feet, to walk out onto the aisle, and walk up here to the front and stand here, and I'm going to pray with you. We're going to worship. As we worship, you get up and you come. We'll wait. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I want to receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And Lord, I want you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood. And I receive you by faith as my God and my Savior. Baptize me now with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature. See that guy right over there? You guys go ahead right over there. Turn right that way. Cool. Follow there. Cool. That's neat. That's neat.